Are there any markers or ways to identify tumors where you might expect a greater impact from anti-apoptotic therapy?
So that's a wonderful question. One of the ways in which cancers resist apoptosis is by overexpressing proteins which block apoptosis. There are several different proteins in this family, and knowing which one was overexpressed would be very important. For example, a BCL2 antisense molecule would not work in a tumor which was resistant to apoptosis because it overexpressed BCLXL or BCLW because the molecules are specific for their targets. So what you're getting at is it would be extremely important to do the kind of experiment in which you measure in tumors the specific anti-apoptotic molecules that the tumor is expressing. We're seeing that increasingly. The work that you cited by Jenny Chang at the Baylor Breast Center is one very important example in which people pre-clinical treatment are measuring the patterns of gene expression in tumors and using those patterns to predict response to specific therapies.
That kind of leads into the whole topic of predictors of response to targeted therapy, and particularly the new generation of clinical trials, NSABP 40 and 41, designed to identify markers of tumor response. What are your thoughts about those strategies?
I think those trials are extremely important, and I'm happy to make the very firm prediction that they absolutely will succeed. And the reason for that is as follows. When we use drugs in breast cancer, we know that sometimes they work, and we know that sometimes they don't work. There are only two general reasons why the drugs don't work. One reason is sort of a classical pharmacologic kind of reason. Either the drugs don't get there, we don't deliver sufficient dose, they don't penetrate the tumor, or there are metabolizing enzymes that inactivate them. Those are all possible. And the second obvious reason is that the tumor doesn't care. The tumor is resistant. The tumor doesn't use a pathway for which the drug is effective. Obviously, that is not going to be created out of magic. If we measure the pathways that a tumor is exploiting, particularly by simply casting a very wide net, by measuring all of the genes that a tumor is expressing, it seems to me, in effect, impossible that patterns will not emerge that tell you which kinds of tumors will respond to a given drug and which will not.
Specifically in terms of predicting a response to chemotherapy, I can think back 20 to 30 years of people trying to replicate the sort of culture and sensitivity approach to anti-cancer therapy. And I understand there's some new assays looking at this and that the NSABP might actually incorporate it into their trials. Can you talk a little bit about this research strategy?
Right. So there are several strategies which seem intuitively very likely to work, but which have been difficult. Just as you can grow the bacteria in a urinary tract infection and predict by using various discs loaded with various antibiotics which antibiotics will work or not and do a culture insensitivity, many groups thought it would be trivially easy to look at tumors and simply expose them to various concentrations of drugs in vitro and by that means predict responsivity. These have been partial successes. In general, they are pretty good at predicting resistance. When you cook up these tumor samples with various concentrations of drugs, if you don't see a response, the likelihood that the patient will respond is negligible. So that the prediction of resistance is good. The prediction of sensitivity has been much more difficult, and I think that in part reflects the fact that it's very difficult to cook up or incubate cancer cells in vitro in a way that's physiologically relevant to how those cancer cells are actually exposed to a drug in vivo. In other words, the times, the doses, and all of that makes it somewhat difficult. That's entirely different from the kind of strategy that Soon Paik spoke about that the NSABP is using. The NSABP is collaborating with a company called Genomic Health, and in those assays, they are actually measuring the concentrations of the messenger RNA for about 21 different molecules. None of them are the direct targets of tamoxifen or of any drugs, but they have developed a discriminant just by doing the experiment over and over again that suggests that the concentrations of these various messenger RNAs accurately predict risk of relapse in response to tamoxifen. That's not something that was intuitively obvious, but simply turned out to be empirically true. What I am saying is almost exactly the same thing. If you start off and say, what is a cancer? One way to define a cancer is to say it is the product of all of its messenger RNAs, and therefore the proteins that are made as a result of those messenger RNAs. I am further hypothesizing that it is those messenger RNAs and the proteins encoded by them which are responsible for whether or not a specific tumor will respond to doxorubicin or Cytoxan or not. If you simply do the experiment in which you take, for example, 100 breast cancers in human beings, take their RNA and look at the patterns of expression of every gene in that breast cancer, and then say, post facto, half of these patients responded to Adriamycin and half did not. Is there some difference in the pattern of expression of RNA between the responders and not that I can bank on, that I can begin to identify? The answer is emerging very rapidly that the answer is yes, that you can do that. You can develop predictive tests that will tell you which patients will respond to individual drugs. What I think is very exciting about that is I find it very difficult to imagine why those tests will not be generalizable across tumor types.